praise the Lord. And we're going to get right into our tabernacle celebration. Now, this is different. The service is much different. So if you've never been, how many here that's never been to one of our tabernacles celebration services? Anybody? You? All right. We have one this morning. All right. Amen. Always like the newbies. Amen. Praise God. But as we get ready to move into that again, normally we have a celebration dinner, but since Pastor Appreciation is next week, we opted to just forego that, just so you know you didn't have to cook and bring food in for 2 weeks, amen. So you can go home and do what it is you do on your Sunday as far as dinner, amen. But this morning we're going to read out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. And let me say this, okay, before we get into this year, you know, I believe that because of the condition and the position of the world, specifically in Israel and in the Middle East, looking specifically into them, at the beginning of this year's fall feast, there was a pivot, there was a change that happened over there concerning the conflict. And I believe because of that, that this year there will never be, first of all, there will never be another beginning Rosh Hashanah of the fall feast as there was this year. And I believe that the world is forever changed from that point on, okay? And when I say forever changed, I mean in the prophetic timeline that God has for where we are in what he's doing, amen? And so understand that the whole premise of the fall feast, and I'll probably repeat this more than one time, but the whole premise of the fall feast is for us to be reminded and for us to look to Jesus as fulfilling the fall feast. We know he fulfilled all of the spring feasts as a Passover lamb. He became the sin, buried sin. Sin was gone. It became, he resurrected, became the first fruits of our resurrection. Pentecost, when he ascended back, 10 days later, the Holy Ghost came on that day, empowered and filled the church. Fire came, just everything was fulfilled, and now we're left with these fall feasts. And the only thing that is left for Jesus to do, for the very reason that he came, is to come back, is to come again and return that second time. This time we're going with him. Oh, see, that's the great thing, amen. So that's why you can be encouraged and know that. You know, I don't say it flippantly, but look, this world is not our home. This distress and these burdens and this weight and the increase of such that's happening now is not going to last. It's only temporary, amen? It's just preparing us for our final redemption and our final destination. So just let me say that the whole premise of this is to get us to understand, and so that Jesus is coming back. And if the Lord, if God allowed Jesus to fulfill all of the spring feasts, he's certainly not going to neglect to let him fulfill these fall feasts. And these fall feasts are all about the rapture and the final judgment and the marriage supper of the Lamb, that great wedding feast, amen? And ultimately, the bringing in of the new heaven and the new earth at the end of the millennial reign. So we're thankful today, praise God, for this opportunity. We're here one more year. Every year we're here, I'm thinking next year could be it. Next year could be the year that we are out of here. And so we're still here, okay? We still got what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we still got technically 4 days because we have the eighth day. We've still got 4 days left of the fall feast, but at this rate, it looks like we're going to be here until next year. Amen. Praise God. And so my whole idea for you today is to be prepared, to be ready. Do not slack. Do not allow the enemy to distract you. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. Amen. We're going to read those. If you want to stand with us, we're going to read. This is where God set into place this statute in Listen, he called these, these are rehearsals. So it's like if you've ever been part of a play or a drama and you have rehearsals, and there's dress rehearsals. So dress rehearsal means that, you know, you put on the costume, you put on the outfits, and you act like that this is the production. And so if someone messes up, you don't stop and say, oh my gosh, you keep going as if it didn't mess up, so that you can get a run through of that. That's what this is. It is a dress rehearsal of all events that's yet to take place. Being ready, being prepared, having your bride garments on, amen, spotless, without wrinkle, your heart and your conscience pure and washed before the Lord daily, so that you are ready, having oil in your lamp so that you don't have to borrow off of someone else, being prepared and ready, because the hour that you think not, bam, it's going to happen, and there won't be time to get ready. So if you make a mistake, don't stop and make another whole new drama about it. Don't involve everyone else, but do what you know to do. That is, say, God, I'm sorry, I repent, I turn from that, I purpose to not do it again, and keep it going just like nothing ever happened. Amen? Are you understanding me today? That's what these feasts are about. So that's why we take a Sunday during the fall feast and we have our tabernacle celebration, because above all, I want every last one of you to be ready. I want every last one of you to be seated at the table together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When that bridegroom comes, I want, amen, all of us that are here today to be a part of that. Amen. I don't know what I'll look like better than I do now. Amen. Praise God. I don't know what you'll look like better than you do now. Amen. Praise God. But nonetheless, he'll see, the Bible tells us that somehow we'll know each other. Amen. Praise God. And I'm so thankful it's going to be worth it. Listen, folks, it's going to be worth it. Praise God. And so I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. So let's read as it says here in verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offerings, everything upon this day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. You shall take you on the first day boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, the willows of the brook. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him the praise, because he is. He is. Amen. The Lord our God. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now, again, what we do here at Judah Tabernacle is our own perception of celebrating tabernacles. And, you know, we've been doing this for several years now, and many years, decades. And so, you know, things that we have implemented, things that we have just brought in, all of ours is to worship the Lord. Nothing to follow a ritual or anything of that nature. So, you know, a lot of churches now celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. A lot of Spirit-filled churches are celebrating Feast of Tabernacles all over the world and all over the United States. And so it's becoming, God is bringing it to the forefront. And so, you know, they celebrate in their own way, and that's fine. But We do ours here at Judah Tabernacle, and so that's what we just want to get into. See, again, understanding that the tabernacles was what they celebrated after they inherited the promised land, being in the wilderness for 40 years. When they were brought out, God brought them in, and they celebrated it. We read to you in the scriptures that they commemorated it in booths. Now, a booth is a tent in Hebrew, so I just keep in mind they set up tents, and so they would they all come out of their houses for 7 days, and it's happening over in Israel somewhat. There's a different atmosphere this year because of bombs and missiles and the threat of war, and so you may not see all of these symbols, but in their spirit they are celebrating. I saw a video where they were in the street and there was great joy and celebration going on in one of the towns in the streets. And so at this time you would see they would come out of their house and they put up a booths or tent or a sukkah, which is Sukkot is plural for that. So you would see that. And they literally live in those tents for 7 days. They come out of their house and they dwell in those tents for 7 days. So the family celebrates and everyone is doing that. And so it's a reminder to their children and their children's children. It has been kept. See, here's what you got to understand. These things are not Jewish things. These are God things. Do you know why we see them as Jewish things? Because it's the Jews who have kept them faithfully throughout all the years. So we look at them as a Jewish thing, but these are God things. These are the things that God set for his people. And the last time I checked, I'm one of his. Amen? I've been grafted in to that. And so as we read to you here in verse 42, that when you shall dwell in these booths, it'll be reminded that I provided for you and that I kept you. And once again, with the situation and circumstances where we are financially, amen, I can't think of a better time to be there than this time of year when God is being seen as the ultimate provider who never forsook his people, who took care of them, and they never done without. Amen? So God is good. He's faithful. We got to look for him in everything that we go through. Amen? So we know that, God provided for us a high priest who paid the price, who atoned for our sins, which was Jesus Christ. And so he made us a kingdom of priests now, so that he could allow us to be partakers of the kingdom. And so not only now, but also in the future. And can I tell you, everything that we're doing is for the future.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? Any recognition we get right now in this moment is fleeting. It doesn't matter. What matters are those things that have eternal value. Those things that will matter in eternity. Amen. Praise God. That's why we seek to live holy and righteous and faithful unto God, because we love him and he allowed us to be brought in. So all that we do, amen, is I'm working for a seat at the table. I'm working for my invitation to not be rescinded. I've RSVP'd, amen, when I said yes to Jesus, amen, and I want to show up. I want to be there. And so this time of year, he reminds us of that. And so it's not just now, but it's the future. But we also know that Jesus came, and the Bible says he came and tabernacled among us. He came and dwelled among us. We talked a couple of weeks ago on a Thursday about, amen, Sukkot, and we talked about the timeline of Jesus' birth and in correlation with John the Baptist and all of those things. And so we realize, amen, that historically speaking and looking at what the Bible gives us, amen, as far as time and position of John the Baptist and Zechariah and all of that, that Jesus was born around, amen, during the Feast of Tabernacles, that Jesus was literally came to dwell among us and tabernacle among us. Now, we've already said that this is a time of joy, okay? You're not allowed to be sad today.
Amen.
Really, during the whole feast, but today here, you're not allowed to be sad, amen? That's why I struggled. One reason why I struggled, amen, with what we had to talk about today. But this is a time of joy. Why would it not be a time of joy when it is telling us that preparations. We're prepared, and we follow through with what God has given us. And now all that's left is for us to gather together to be with Him for eternity. He has accepted us, received us, redeemed us, washed us, justified us, given us grace and mercy. Now here we are, amen, making preparations to be, amen, with Him. And so it's a time of joy. We say this every year. It is part of the Jewish sages that they say happiness is taking pleasure in what you have. But joy is taking pleasure in a good future. Amen. That's where the joy is. That's why we can have joy in the midst of temporary difficulties, because it's not about the moment. Our joy is not invested in the moment, but it's invested in what's already been prepared and what's already done. And if God is setting us up to be there, amen, He's going to make sure that we have everything we need to get there. Are you with me today? Amen. Praise God. So it's not a time to be sad, not a time to be distraught. Can you imagine the struggle in Israel right now? Can you imagine being taught that and knowing the joy of this feast? Amen. This is the feast in Israel. When they talk about feasts, all they say, they don't say Sukkot or Tabernacles. They say the feast, because this is the ultimate feast, because they feel this is bringing in the Messiah for the first time. We know it's ushering Him in for the second time. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So that's why it's simply known as the feast. It's the Feast of Ingathering. Scriptures call it the Feast of Ingathering. Why? Because everyone from all over would gather in to Israel, into Jerusalem, to bring their offering and to bring the first fruits of the harvest unto God and celebrate Tabernacles. Amen. And so Jew and Gentile both. Again, the Jews were not allowed to refuse a Gentile entrance into their booth, into their tent. They were not allowed. So if a Gentile passed by and needed to eat or was needed to rest or asked if they could come in, they could not refuse them. Amen. Because when we all get to heaven, it's either Jew or Gentile, male or female, but we're all one new man in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a good place. Come on. You're trying to. It's a good place to go ahead and give Him praise. Amen? Because we've been grafted in. It's why we show up here twice a week. It's why we worship. It's why we put in what we put into for the kingdom. Amen? Because we have been grafted in. Amen? And so it's the Feast of Ingathering. It's also the latter rain harvest. And so that harvest that's brought in, the fruit harvest, they're now harvesting the grapes. And so they're getting ready to press the grapes to bring forth that new wine. Amen. And so that grape harvest, it's also the grain harvest. So it's all about the harvest. And what is Jesus coming back for? A harvest. Amen. Praise God. So when He returns, He's going to take, amen, His harvest with Him. And so we've already talked about it, speaking about a bride, but this is a victorious bride. We're not a bride, amen, that is sad. We're not a bride that is defeated. We're not a bride that's going to go out of here busted, broken, amen. But we are a victorious bride, amen. We are a bride that, amen, stands and waits in victory, right? Amen. We reveal the glory of God in our lives, amen, by being that bride. His glory is revealed in our lives, amen, and we reveal Jesus, amen, this Messiah to the world. Listen, the Bible says the Jews in these last days will look into us, will look at us, and they will wonder, amen, they will wonder, amen, with faith is how that we can have what we have, amen, because it will reveal Jesus to them, amen, and they will grab hold, the Bible says, and they will say, we want what you want, amen, praise God, what is it, and then, amen, the revealing of the Messiah, so it's a harvest, amen, it is a victorious bride, amen, and so this also speaks of signs and wonders and all of the things that God does, where the reaper will overtake the sower, where the former and the latter rain will come together at the same time. Amen. Not just waiting for the latter rain harvest, but he'll bring it all, amen, together at the same time. It's a worldwide thing. Look at somebody and say, it's about the world. It's about the world. It's not about us. It's about the world. Amen. Praise God. So there's a foreshadowing of the fulfillment of the ages. Amen. That very return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is why we're here today. This is why we take the time to dedicate a service to celebrate Tabernacles, to remind you, amen, that it's not worth walking away. It's not worth giving up. We're closer now than we've ever been before. Now more than ever, you need to look up, hold your head up, lift your hands, rejoice, amen, at the coming of your King. Hallelujah. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Amen. Can we give the Lord of Lords? Come on, let's give him a hand clap of worship this morning. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. You that are discouraged, lift up your hand, O weary one. Hallelujah. Cry out, amen, and rejoice, because your God is for you. He is on your side. He is not against you today. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that's what we stand, amen, today, and take the time to do this, amen, because the Lord commands us to remember it. Amen. We remember, praise God, what he's doing. Amen. If we can look now at verse 40, and we read to you 33 through 43, but if we can look at verse 40. I'm still, just bear with me. And you shall take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, palms of branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, the willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Amen? So God is telling them here, he's giving them instruction that all 7 days, the first day is a Sabbath, the eighth day is a Sabbath. And so he's saying that during these 7 days, he said, I want you to gather these branches, and I want you to rejoice before me during these 7 days. And this is a time of joy. It is a time of triumph. Once again, it's about victory. We are victorious through Jesus Christ, right? And we have triumphed over sin. We have triumphed over death. He has, and so we can. Amen? Praise God. And so God told them, he said, I want you to get these four species of tree branches, and I want you to put them together. And I want you to make what in the Hebrew is called a lulav. Amen. Excuse me. Everyone say lulav. Yeah. Amen. It's called in the Hebrew lulav. Amen. And that means, lulav simply means a shoot or a young branch of a tree. And so it's literally God commanding them to take these fruits and these branches and to rejoice before him. Now, God speaks to them, and they are to take the etrog or the citron, and they are to offer it as far as their wave offering, as they wave the branches before the Lord. The lulav, amen, is the palm branch, it's the willow branch, and it's the myrtle branch. And so all three of these trees, the palm, the willow, and the myrtle. Now, the palm branch is literally called lulav in Hebrew. The willow branch is the aravot, and the myrtle branch is the hasidim. And so that is literally what God said. Now, what you got to understand, they may not understand it through all of these centuries that they waved the lulav, but we understand because of what Jesus has done and because of what this represents, that we're worshiping him until he comes. And because of what these represent, now this is my, you that have been here, you know, this is my version. It's cheaper and it lasts until Jesus comes, unless it falls apart. So it's artificial. But this is my version of a lulav, amen, that I've put together. And so we understand that what all of these represent and what Jesus has done, and because we are praising him as a victorious bride, as a triumphant people, that when we wave this and the enemy understands why we're doing what we're doing, you understand that? He understands why we are taking the time to do what we're doing today. He understands what this is all about. So when we wave this in the presence of the Lord before God, it becomes a weapon of our warfare. Amen. It becomes a weapon that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It becomes a weapon where Jesus said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the ends of the earth. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is your heritage. You understand, this is not something we do to be saved, but this is something we do because we're saved. We have a right to worship him and to rejoice in the truth. Amen? So here's what we understand. Same thing with the citron. This is my version of the citron, the etron. So I told you before, the citron is a very pleasant smelling citrus fruit. Amen. I have smelled that. And so if you ever get the chance to, it's indescribable. It's a mixture of lemon and lime and kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's just a very pleasant aroma. So that's what the etron represents. And I want to speak to you about what these represent as we wave them before the Lord here in just a few minutes. The etron, because it has a pleasant aroma, it represents the righteous people who have both the word, which is the knowledge, and the good deeds or the works or the heart. So they have the heart, amen, and the knowledge. So they have the word and the good works to go with it. That is what this represents. The lulav, which is the branch of the date palm, it produces a sweet fruit, but it has no aroma or fragrance. Okay. So that fruit has no smell at all. This represents the person who has knowledge but lacks the good deeds or the works. Okay? So then thirdly, we have the hasidim, which is the sweet-smelling myrtle. This is represents the people who have good deeds, but they lack the word. So we have those that have both the word and the works. I can say it just like that. They have both the word and the works. So their head and their heart are in unity. They have the word and the works together. Then we have the date palm where it produces a sweet fruit, but it does not, it has no fragrance. So they have the knowledge, but they don't have the works to go with it. Then we have the hasidim, which is the myrtle. It smells sweet, but this represents the people who have the good works, but they don't have the knowledge of the word of God. And how many knows that we can see those examples in the condition of the church today, the kingdom, we can see that. Finally, the willow or the arvok, it grows near water. It needs water, but it's odorless and it's tasteless. It represents those people who are lacking in both the word and the works, yet they have potential. So if I can put that in heavenly terms, God has not given up on them yet.
Right.
And because God hasn't, we don't.
Right.
Amen. God shows them grace. We show them grace. Are you with me? Amen. And so you put all of those together, and that shows unity. That shows the grace and mercy of the atonement of Jesus Christ covering all who, amen, fall under each of those categories. Every person, every kind of person falls underneath one of those categories. I want to be this. I want to have my head and my heart in unity. I want to have the word and my heart in the right place. And so you should be there today, because we've had all of this time up until now to prepare ourselves and to get everything in order and to get everything ready. But if you're not, you still have time.
Right.
Today is your day. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. That's what grace is all about. Amen? Are you with me? Praise God. And so what happens is what they do every day when they would come together every day, they would do what is called the pitam, which is the shaking. So they would take the lulav, amen, and they would wave it or they would shake it, if I can say it like that. And when they would shake it before the Lord, this would represent God's heart for all of the world. In other words, Jesus said, I came what? That whosoever will, let him come, that no man, I'm not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come, amen, to repentance and have everlasting life. And so it is shaken or waved in every direction, north, south, east, west. And that means that God's mercy and grace, God's provision, God's love, goes into all four corners of the earth, all over the world. You can't get away from the mercy and the grace and the love of God. Amen? Praise God. That's an awesome thing. Yes, go ahead and put your hands together. Amen. Praise God. It's worthy of, amen, that praise and that worship. Amen. And so as we shake or wave the lulav, it makes a clapping noise kind of like this. And our artificial plastic really fulfill that. So I'm thankful for that. It makes it easier for me. But as you shake it, it makes a clapping noise as they hit against each other, as if God's as if people's hands are clapping. Now this brings to mind God's promise to Israel in Isaiah 55 and 12.
For you shall go out with joy and be led forth peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's literally what is happening here. Amen. You think, why would God say all the trees of the field clap their hands? Amen. Again, there's nothing in the scriptures that is in vain. Everything that's in there, other than what? Anything that's italicized or added by man, but God has everything in there to be foundational in our walk and in our relationship with Him. And so we bring these branches back to Him, right? We take them to Him who owns the north, south, east, and west. He owns all the earth. The Bible says that the earth is His what? Footstool that He crossed His feet. Amen. Upon this earth. And so we raise it and we lower it to Him who owns the heavens and the earth. And if He owns the heavens and the earth, and He said, I consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil nor they spin. They don't have to ever wonder where their provision is coming from.
All right.
Consider the sparrows. And if I provide for the sparrows, they don't worry or take note of when they're going to eat or where they're going to get their food from. They just do what they were created to do, knowing that they will be provided for and taken care of. And He said, if I care for them, how much more do I care for my people, the ones who I sent my Son to die for? Amen? Praise God. And so when we wave this in all directions, again, this becomes a weapon. I try not to get excited every year because I know not everybody, probably not everybody has it in, is invested into the truth, amen, of this, that maybe I am, and I don't mean that negatively, amen, but I try not to get excited because I realize, amen, that God sees and God understands and God knows our hearts as we come together here and we do what we do, amen, and that as we wave this in all directions, again, it becomes a weapon. It's more than just words of praise. It's more than just adoration unto the Lord. It becomes a weapon, and it even goes beyond worship because it's proclaiming to the enemy. It's proclaiming to every demonic stronghold, every demonic influence, all of the darkness that is around in the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, right? So we're going to feel the effects of it, but it's not going to have, amen, it's not going to be able to harm and damage us, come on somebody, amen, like it would other people. So as we wave this in all directions, amen, we understand that it restrains the harmful winds and it prevents the the harmful dew. You say, well, what do I need the harmful winds and the harmful dew for? It's prophetic for harvest. Amen. They would believe for the winter months, amen, that the harmful winds and the harmful dew would not come and destroy their harvest and their future harvest. And so we believe that. Amen. In spiritually speaking, praise God. And so that's what we do. And that's one of the understandings when we, again, when we wave that, the shake or wave the lulav and bring it before the Lord. So I'm going to step out in just a minute and I'm going to do that. I'm going to wave it, amen, or shake it in all four directions. We go up and down and then we go in all directions. And so what happens is that we, you know, we give honor unto the Lord. So when I step down and we do that, then we can, we understand that what God is doing, what God promises to do for us in the future, in the days to come, amen, again, that he's going to provide and he's going to take care of his people and he's going to protect your harvest. And so there's a blessing that is spoken over the lulav, and then there's a blessing that's spoken over the citron and the lulav together. And then once I shake that and do that in all directions, amen, I'm gonna urge you to give the Lord praise and honor. And then we step back and Psalm 118 is then read to declare the word of God. And so after we wave the lulav, what we do is a worship march. Okay, we do what we call a worship march. And so this again shows our faith in him. We praise him, we bless his name, we call unto him to save us, to be with us, to deliver us from the days of evil that are ahead of us, right? From our trials, from our enemies, and from Satan's wrath. Amen. It's why we cry Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. Praise God. The same thing that they did when Jesus came in on the donkey. And so what we do, because on the eighth day, on that last day, after they wave the lulav, then it's called Simchat Torah, which is the joy of the word. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's that eighth day. It is a holy convocation. It's because on that day they set to read, go through and read the Torah or the word, which is their word, the Torah, for the rest of the coming new year. And so they will have read through it by the end of my tabernacles, and then they begin to read through it again. Now, you need to understand that the eighth day, the Simchat Torah, is also prophetic to the coming of a new heaven and a new earth, when everything is going to be finished and done, and God's going to have everything back the way he wants it. So what we do, our version of worship with that, is we march around the sanctuary three times. Amen. We hold up the word of God. We hold up the flag of Israel. And we hold up a worship flag that has a picture of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. It's a lion. Amen. But he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And so we cover all of that. And that shows our faith in him. And so what a lot of folks don't understand is the Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah that we are going to worship the Feast of Tabernacles after we're out of here. We're gonna do this. We're going to celebrate Feast of Tabernacles after we are out of here. Okay? And so the book of Revelation gives us, in chapter 7 and verse 9, it gives us a glimpse, amen, of why, okay, again, the waving of the lulav, amen? So let's listen and see what that tells us.
After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
Think of that. A number that no man can number. Where are all those palms going to come from? Where are all of those palm branches going to come from? That blows my mind. But we're going to stand before him with palm branches in our hand. When they stood as Jesus came through on that donkey before he was going to be crucified, and they waved the palm branches, amen, crying, Hosanna, amen, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, O King, amen. That's when we wave that this morning. What are we asking God? We need a breakthrough. We need a miracle. We need a divine intervention. Save us, O God. Keep us, amen, through our trials. Let us rise up and honor you in glory unto your name as we go through, amen, and we follow through with what God has called us to do until we get there. And so this is not just some hokey thing. See, this is not just something I believe in my doubt thinking that's necessary. Doesn't matter whether we think it's necessary or not. Praise God. I'm glad that when I get there, I can say, well, I've been there before. Right? I've been there before. I understand. Praise God. You know what I mean. Amen. Hallelujah. It gives me greater strength to pursue and to go forward. And then after we do that, the final thing that we're going to do is also something that they've done every day during the tabernacles, amen, is the water libation. And again, this is one of the greatest joyful aspects of tabernacles. It is, we talked about this a little more extensively a couple of weeks ago on a Thursday night as well. Where the water libation is about joy and light. Amen. There's a lampstand that is put in the temple, and it held 4 or 5 gallon containers of oil, and they lit that during the tabernacles, and it was so bright that at nighttime it would light up Bethlehem all the way 6 miles away from the tabernacle, amen, from the temple. Who was born in Bethlehem to become the light of the world? It was Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. They could see it lit up. There was nothing dark, amen, because of this great light, amen. Praise the Lord. And so this was the central part of the water libation. And so we're going to just do our part in that water libation. But this was a great time that happened every day during Sukkot. They would come and they would go to the pool of Siloam, which was the purest of the springs of Israel. Amen. The oldest source of water and the most pure. It was the life water. It was the water of life. Amen. Considered there. They would go into the pool of Siloam. We know, amen, we've talked about it this year as well. They would go in and they would strip down all of their clothes, and they would go into that pool of Siloam, and they would come out on the other side, and they would be given a white robe, and they would be able to ascend up, amen, and to worship the Lord. Amen. What did John say? I saw them. What were they in? They were in white robes with palms in their hands. Come on, somebody. You can't make that stuff up. Amen. Praise God. It's written, and we can see, amen, that God had those things in mind. But this was a lot of intense anticipation of the rain, because if the rain came, the blessing of the Lord was upon them. That meant no worries. They could go to bed at night and sleep and not have to worry about whether the harvest was going to be taken care of, because they would watch the Lord bless, and they knew that they worshiped him, and they knew they honored him every day, amen, and believing for that. And so they would have that hope and that peace. And so they would pour that water out on the altar, amen. They would pour water and blood, amen, upon the altar every day in the grooves of the altar. And it would come and mix together, just like the blood and water flowed out of the side of Jesus when they pierced him from the cross, amen. And so it was in, the pool was literally in the shadow of the temple. And so they would go, amen, through the water gate, and they would go in and they would get pictures of the water from the pool of Siloam, and they would come back, amen, and each group of people, there would be great rejoicing. They would be sounding trumpets. There would be a great procession. People would be on the steps praying, rejoicing, praising, giving honor to God, amen, and they would come bring that water in. And so it was a very joyous time, amen, because they carried literally the waters of creation. That's what the pool of Siloam, the water in that pool represented to them. It was the waters of creation. And so they were greeted with sounds of the shofar, amen, and sounds of the silver trumpets, amen, that symbolized the coronation of a king, amen. Kings were coronated on tabernacles. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That even no matter when they were elected or they were put into office, their coronation happened during tabernacles. And so there was a great, great joyous celebration that took place. Amen. And so they would fulfill Isaiah 12 and 3, where he said, "With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Out of the waters of creation you shall draw water." And so this literally gives us a picture of our closeness to God. Amen. And that divine connection. Praise God. We're set apart. Why? Because we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're set apart because we're purposing to be at this wedding feast. We're set apart because we have accepted the invitation of the bridegroom. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we know that it's said of this, that whoever has never seen the celebration of the festival of the water libation has never experienced true joy in his life. Now, listen to what Jesus said when he was there on the last, that day of the feast. Amen. In John 7, 37 and 38.
"In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.'"
Amen. So Jesus shows up on the last day of that Feast of Tabernacles as they were pouring the water, as they were doing the water libation. Jesus shows up and stands, and he said, if any man thirsts, I know this is waters of creation, but I am the living water.
Yeah.
And if anybody thirsts, let him come and drink of me. And when you do, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this I speak of the Holy Ghost. And so we understand, again, Pentecost was fulfilled by Jesus when the Holy Ghost came. And so he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it won't just be once a year that you experience this, but it will be every day, that if you believe on me, that it's going to happen. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that time. And so we're going to ask you, because we're going to have the shofar blown as I raise the pitcher of water for the water libation. We're going to ask you, you need to shout like you see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to put your hands together to shout out of your belly. Amen. Praise God. Lay aside everything. Lay aside all the worries and the cares. Remember, you should be having joy anyway. Amen. And we need you to shout unto the Lord. Amen. To let hell and heaven know that we believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to come out. Amen. And we're going to shake the lulav. Amen. And then we're going to read Psalm 119 or 118. I don't know why I keep saying 119. But Psalm 118, it doesn't matter as long as you read the right one. Read Psalm 118, and then we're going to have our march, and then we're going to do our water libation. So as we get ready, let's get ready to worship in, amen, the shaking of the lulav.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded regarding taking the lulav, the palm branch. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this glorious occasion.
Yes,
thank
you.
Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah, my Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise your
Lord. Hallelujah. Come on.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that the mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them.
Amen.
They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They have thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
Amen.
The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in them, and I will praise the Lord. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. Thou art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The Lord, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord who has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's bless him. Come on, go ahead. Come on, just practice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I march around this sanctuary. I want you to stand all across this sanctuary. Hallelujah. You know, the world may look in today, amen, and they may count it foolish. Hallelujah. But I'm so thankful today that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Come on, we're going to march three times. I want your worship and the sound of your praise to build. Come on. Hallelujah. I want it to build. Praise God. I want it to build as they march. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to just, every time they make a turn around this front corner, amen, I just want you to just let your praise just begin to increase. Come on. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Oh, Prince of Israel. The apple of God's eye. Hallelujah.
Oh,
his word endures every battle, every trial. Hallelujah. We stand on the word. We walk in covenant. And we worship in the truth. Amen. That Jesus is our coming King. Come on. They're getting ready to make their third lap. Hallelujah. Surely you got more in you than the now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Amen. For he is good. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We stand in covenant with
your people. We stand in this time on your word. Father, we praise and honor you. We give thanks to Jesus on this Tabernacles, knowing God that you are faithful to your people. You will honor God. You will honor the worship and the praise of your people. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right. Amen. We're going to stand up here for just a couple seconds, and we want you just to lift it up in unison now. Come on. Shout. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For our future today, we thank you, God, that you've called us your own and righteous. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bless your name, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want you to remain standing. We're going to I love you today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to come to the greatest. I say this every year, and we'll say it again this year. So if you've heard me say it, I'm not going to apologize. But I remember the first year we've done things different when we first did our tabernacle service, amen, and we've done it pretty much the same for the last several years now. But I remember the first year, I had no idea what the water libation was, and when the Lord opened that up to me, and I began to see it, and I began to see Jesus in John chapter 7, and the Lord dealt with me to pour the water and to do water libation. I so didn't want to. Not because I was being stubborn or anything, but I'm like, God, we're already, you know, we're already out there. Amen. But I will never, ever forget. It's one of the times that's etched in my spiritual memory, I think, forever. But I remember that first year when I raised that pitcher up and I began to pour that out. It was just like electricity went from that water all the way down. I felt such a divine presence of the anointing of God. God, let me know you have my approval. I'm with you. Such a great, great anointing. I'll never forget that. And so now I don't care. Amen. Every year, again, This was the joyous time of the day. Can you imagine waking up for 7 days and not having a choice but to show up?
Yeah, amen.
And you didn't have a choice but to be part of the crowd. And when the minstrels begin to play, they begin to sing and begin to rejoice, you had to join in.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't given a choice. It was part of your identity. And you didn't care. They didn't worry about whatever one else thought because everybody was doing it.
Right.
Help us, Jesus. That'll preach sometime later.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing it. But then every day, as they saw the priest coming with the pitcher of the waters of creation coming down and celebrating in the joy and the pouring out of the water on the altar, the most joyous time and the light being lit in the temple court. Can you imagine? You wouldn't be able to think about your cares or your worries or your troubles or what you're going to do tomorrow. You would be caught up in that moment. I'm thankful today that the Holy Ghost can do that for us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so they would go down to the pool of Siloam. They would get that pitcher. People would be waiting on the steps, and they would begin to ascend the steps up to the temple. There would be people lining the steps, people waiting on the steps of the temple. People be there, and they would be playing. They would be sounding the silver cornets, the silver trumpets. They would be playing the music, playing the flutes, and they would be rejoicing. And there would be great shouting and great celebration. Can you imagine how that buffeted the enemy? Can you imagine that? How the enemy was literally put under their feet. Hallelujah. Praise God so much. Amen. So they would come back and then they would pour out that water. Amen. Into the altar along with the blood. Amen. Knowing that provision, believing for the rain and the harvest, that God was taking care of them. He'd been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. He's done it once. He'll do it again. He did it for others. He'll do it for us. Amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God. So we're going to, as I get ready to pour, I'm going to ask them to blast the shofar. And then as I begin to pour the water, you said, well, you wanted us to be loud the last time. Well, you got to be louder this time.
Yeah.
Amen? You say, I can't. Yeah. Just imagine your team, just your favorite team, just scored a touchdown. You know, don't play ball. Amen. You heard people, right? Praise God. But just think about that when this day is over, amen, that God's already taken care, amen, of us, and our future is in his hands. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to get ready to pour out this water. Amen. This is different. They didn't do it quite this way. Amen. Praise God. But that's how we do it. Amen. So to get ready as we lift the pitcher to blast the shofars. Amen. Praise God. And then we're going to begin to pour. And then we need you to praise. Amen. I pour, you praise. Hallelujah. And I mean shout. Shout and destroy every, amen, foundation of the enemy. Come on. Go ahead.
Yes.
A fresh new year. We thank you, God, for a healing. We thank you that the enemy is beneath our feet. We thank you, amen, that you are rising and your enemies are being scattered. We thank you, God, that you're greater than every situation and circumstance. We thank you, God, that you already made the way. We thank you most of all that you've redeemed us and you're taking us back with you. We thank you, God. Help us today to remember this moment as we pursue this new coming year in your spirit. In Jesus' precious name,
amen,
we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, one more time. Just put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now look at somebody around you and say, may your name be written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord. That soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We appreciate the presence of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for your attention today, for your attendance. Again, the celebration service is different. Amen. Praise God. But it's important. Amen. It's become an integral part of our worship. And praise God. And I'm thankful today. Amen. Normally, again, we have a celebration dinner. Amen. But again, because of next week. But when you sit down today to eat, if you are having lunch with someone else, or you're with your family, or if it's just you, just take a few minutes and
amen, just reflect on the goodness of the Lord and the provision, amen, and the joy that is set before you. And remember, amen, remember that God has already went before you, amen, and he's taking care of it. Praise God. We appreciate you today. Thank you so very much. Amen. Praise God. We're going to ask you to stand. Don't forget, the Pastor Appreciation Dinner sign up is out there in the foyer. Amen. We want everyone to come and pray for us. You know what's happening. We don't. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray for us. Amen. But we're thankful. Don't forget that tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, if you want to be join us, amen, at 7 Days of Praise as we worship, amen. And that's their celebration service every evening at 7 o'clock. So if you want to come be with us, we welcome you to do that. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be back here ready to worship the Lord. Let's pray for Israel. Let's not forget to pray for Israel. There's some things I kind of bit my tongue this morning. It's something that I wanted to say, but I don't want to say something prematurely that hasn't been verified yet. But if it's what's being said is verified, amen, again, there's another shift that's taking place over there in this conflict. And I can't think of a better time during Tabernacles for that to happen. But anyway, let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray, amen, for one another. Let's remember, also want to pray for James Smith. A lot of you know him as Smitty. Amen. It's Casey and Tracy and Chris's dad. We want to remember and pray for him. Remember him in prayer. And also remember Phyllis James, which is Zach's grandmother. Let's remember her in prayer as well. Amen. Yeah. So we're going to blast the shofar one more time. We want you to lift your hands one more time. Honor God. Give the Lord a shout of praise one more time. Amen. For all that he's done today. We appreciate you so much. We love you. God bless you. Amen. We hope to see you again. Amen.